Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello again, everybody. Come and join us. We are in Acts chapter 13. Get your Bible, grab a cup of coffee. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
Hello, this is Steve from Phoenix, Arizona.
And this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
And this song is in Psalm 66.
Hear all you that fear, all you that fear God, and I will declare what he has done, what he has done for my soul. I cry to him with my mouth, and he was with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me, he has attended to the voice of my prayers. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer nor his mercies from me. So come and hear, all you that fear, all you that fear God, and I will declare what he has done, what he has done for my soul. What he has done for my soul.
This is Acts chapter 13, verse 13, all the way to verse number 43.
Now those with Paul set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departed from them and returned to Jerusalem. But they, passing through Perga, came to Antioch of Pisidia, and going into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the synagogue rulers sent unto them, saying, Men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. And Paul stood up, and beckoning with the hand, said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, hearken. The God of this people Israel chose our fathers, and exalted the people during their sojourn in Egypt land, and with a high arm led them forth out of it. And for a time of about 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. When he had destroyed 7 nations in Canaan land, he gave them their land for an inheritance for about 450 years. And after these things he gave judges unto Samuel the prophet. And afterward they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, 40 years. And having removed him, he raised up David to be their king, to whom also he witnessed and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who shall do all my will. Of the seed of this man has God, according to the promise, brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus. John, having first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, And as John was fulfilling his course, he said, "What suppose ye that I am? I am not he. But lo, one comes after me, the shoes of whose feet I am not worthy to unloose." Men and brethren, sons of Abraham's race, and those among you that fear God, to us is the word of this salvation sent forth. For who dwelleth in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor the voice of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled them by condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, they asked Pilate that he be slain. And when they had finished all the things written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen for many days of them that came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses unto the people. And we bring you good tidings of the promise made unto the fathers, that God has fulfilled the same to our children, and that he raised up Jesus. And also it is written in the second Psalm, "Thou art my Son, this day I begotten thee." And he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption. He has spoken thus, "I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David." Because he saith also in another place, "Thou wilt not give thy Holy One to see corruption." For David, after he had in his own generation served the counsel of God, fell asleep, and was laid unto the fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is proclaimed unto you remission of sins. And by him every one that believeth is justified from all which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Look therefore, lest what is spoken in the prophets come upon you. Behold, you despisers, and wonder and vanish away, for I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, if one rehearse it to you. As he went out, they besought that these words be spoken to them the next Sabbath. Now when the synagogue broke up, many of the Jews and the devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, urged them to continue in the grace of God.
Well, he just gave the whole history. You know, this is, you can see this happening several places in the scripture, you know, as to...
I was going to say this is rather Stephen-ish.
Yeah, exactly like
it's the Lord speaking. I mean, yeah. that's really concise.
Yeah. He then talks about the 450 years, and he gave judges, and that's really what he wanted us to live, is under these judges until Samuel the prophet, and they asked for a king, and he gave them Saul, but they gave him a man after their heart, and what they wanted was tall and handsome, and God showed them their choice, what Saul was like, tall and handsome. But he didn't have any really good character of heart and mind. Now, David did. He was after God's heart and mind.
Yeah, it's interesting in there where it says God gave them Saul.
Yes.
And then it says he raised up David to be their king.
Yeah. He gave them according to their heart and desires. They wanted a GQ guy. And they got GQ. Boy, we got a handsome governor in California. He's going to be interesting. I think he's a GQ guy, but he's not going to be godly. That's what you get when you look at the outward appearance. That's exactly what you get. And then the most important thing happened that we needed was somebody to die for us. The whole of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John focuses on Jesus' death. That was the greatest thing that he could have done, was he died for us. And Paul really focuses on this, doesn't it? The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And God saw no corruption because he was the Lamb without spot or blemish, and God saw no corruption. He was the only sacrifice able to take away our sins and to heal us. And it says, by him, everyone that believes is justified from all. Because it says, for which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Nobody was. Nobody could do it. It didn't work. It was just a foretaste. God was showing us what it would take to justify us, and nobody could do it. He proved through that nobody could be perfect in it, except who? Jesus. He's the only one that could. Man could not. It took the Son of God to be able to do that. So here's Paul and Barnabas working together, and you could see the fruit of their, and it's again, two by two. What have we learned about that two by two, Andy? You like to tell people about that, don't you?
What, it's all over the place.
But you like to tell people the mathematical equation tied to it. That's an impossibility.
Oh, that one can put 10 to flight, right? And two can put...
One can put 1,000 to flight.
One put 1,000 to flight, and two can put 10,000 to flight.
It multiplies it by 10.
A factor of 10.
Yeah. Multiplication factor of 10, yeah, which is big. Mm-hmm. 10% or 100%? How'd you like, you know, 10% healing? That's almost not good at all. Now think of 100% healing, which is what Jesus did. He fulfilled the whole thing, if you put it in that term.
We've experimented with that. We've tried to see how much 1,000 would do, and we found out it would not do that much.
No.
And we could get fought, but 10,000, overrun.
Yep.
And you can't explain it.
The enemy flees.
You cannot explain how powerful that is.
So 450 years they had judges. He gave them the land for an inheritance for about 450 years. And after these things, he gave judges until Samuel, the prophet. And afterwards, they asked for a king. And those judges were interesting. He would raise up people you wouldn't expect to be judges. And everyone he worked with, I mean, look at how unusual Samson was. Mm-hmm. Look at how unusual Jephthah was, an illegitimate son. He raised up an illegitimate son, and he saved Israel, and it was quiet there for a long time. Was he the one where they had rest 80 years? One of them.
80 years.
Had rest 80 years. Some of them, they had rest 40 years. Some a little less than that even. But 40 years of rest, we've not had that in America that I know of. 40 full years of rest.
Mm-hmm. I like how it's written here, for about 450 years. And afterwards, he gave them Saul for 40 years. And then... after these things, he gave judges until Samuel. He didn't give any information there.
Right.
God doesn't say everything like exactly to dates and times every time.
Right. And when he talks about the 430 years to the date of them coming out of
Israel. Now he's got a date
Israel,
right there.
But he even says it happened exactly the same date. It was exactly the same date that God showed Abraham circumcision. It's the day Abraham and the men were circumcised. They became Jews outwardly, you know, with an outward sign, but that was the covenant that he made with Abram. And at that covenant with Abram, he changed his name to Abraham, which is something that happens when a person becomes a son of God.
New name.
You get a brand new name. Oh, by the way, your heart's circumcised. You get a brand spanking new heart. Oh, and he uses the first verb ever used in the Bible called create. Create me a clean heart. And that happens at the moment you're circumcised.
So some things are on an exact day.
Oh, and by the way, circumcision happens at your baptism. So I don't know if the minister ever explained that to you. When you were baptized, and that's in Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. Oh, that might surprise you. Oh, and it doesn't make any difference if you're a man or a woman. It's the heart. It's not something, it's a circumcision called a circumcision made without hands. Oh, it even foretold that in the Old Testament.
So God speaks clearly enough If you ask a person, what day did your salvation begin? You should know that day. He lets you know that day.
You should know your heart was circumcised that day.
Yes.
God gave you a brand new heart. That heart was made
clean. Is that specific in time for you?
That heart was made.
Because people need a specific time. They need to know things.
Because we already went through baptism in Acts 2:38. Your job is to change your mind. And then God gives you enough faith to get baptized. And that baptism includes, oh, by the way, you're now a Jew in your heart. You're of that tribe of Judah. Oh, it's the king's tribe. Oh, you're one of the king's kids. And you get a new name because of that royalty. And this operation made without hands, men and women alike, because God treats us as equal heirs. If a man does not treat his wife as a joint heir, his prayers are cut off. So this male dominance of the wife, that's got to go out the window.
So if a husband did that, and his wife would go on, she could pray, it would all be good, but every prayer he had, the top got cut right off of it. And if he changes his mind, it comes back.
Yeah, he's the one in trouble, and he's the one that has to fix that one. And to treat your wife as a joint heir, that your prayers be not cut off, it says. You've got to.
The word hindered, somebody didn't like the cut off part.
It's cut off.
It says that, and so they put hindered, which means, not everything will slip through.
What do you bet that was a man that probably did not a woman?
I bet so.
You know what we guys are like. You know you can't always trust us because we're guys. So that's why it's not good for a man to be alone. They need a wife to keep them honest.
Amen.
Should we let this one get out? Well, the wife will keep them honest there, and then if they don't give her a right place, God will make them honest.
Oh, he'll...
He'll get them honest there. Oh. A husband's caught between his wife and God.
We better be careful how we talk about this, because we're going to be in trouble.
We're going to be in trouble with a lot of guys.
We'd better just do this ourselves.
Yes.
So we'll get the word out. But here's this first verb in the Bible, creation, bara, make brand new and eternal at that time. If you could imagine, that first creation of man was for eternity. Man's the one that messed it up. He was given a choice, and this is all designed by God for God to teach us choice. Actually, this whole thing that we go through is actually predetermined by God, because he doesn't want a bunch of robots serving him. He wants us to learn. There is something bigger about this whole thing that we're going through. This is not just an accident. I'm not mad at Adam and Eve. God has allowed this because he's got a whole way bigger picture that is much better than we know, but we have to learn our lessons because God is teaching us something that we will have for eternity. And we're part of this because we make the choices. And he wants a race of people that choose to do what he says, that we make that choice, that we choose to obey him. We love him and choose to obey him. And we're not robots. We make that choice. And so here is this create, bara, to make brand new from nothing. In other words, start over. It's, in other words, you're not carrying anything of that old heart with you. The moment you go under the water in baptism, you come out with a brand new heart. Create in me a clean heart. Bara, brand new. That's that word that's used throughout all the Bible, to make from nothing. And renew a right spirit within me. And he pours forth his spirit into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, is another scripture. It's interesting when you put all these things together, isn't it? When you think about that.
And it happens at a specific time.
Yeah, when we die with Christ.
And everyone should know when that was for them.
Yeah, and a new name, and a whole new identity. Saul, the murderer, Paul, the apostle.
And you get registered in heaven A birth happens, you get registered.
And also in the book of life in heaven.
Yes.
In a particular place called the Lamb's Book of Life.
That is a lot of things around one day.
You know what's funny? He doesn't call us a servant. He calls us a brother, a joint heir. Now, we start off as a servant. We have to go through that Mark chapter, don't we? But it says if a person that's a slave owner and he treats his servant kindly and treats him well, this one gets to me when I say this because it's very endearing. In the end, he gains a son.
And that's a sentence that's written in the Proverbs. It's just sitting there. That's a powerful statement that it says there. It's just sitting there, a verse.
That's God. That's our God.
Yep.
And people fear him that we respect him, that we have a high, huge amount of respect. And when you think of all these things that he's doing for us, it's a different kind of fear. It's not like the type that you would fear some weirdo or somebody mean or whatever. We have to fear that there are certain things you just don't do around God. He's high and he's to be exalted. He is the majestic one. We are to fear him.
To revere.
Yeah, to fear him. But it's different though, because this is, he's our dad. But there's just some things we don't do.
When it says the fear of the Lord is clean.
Enduring forever.
So men may not understand this type of fear.
Right.
It says it is fear.
Yeah.
And but it's clean.
It's fear within the respect of this affects our eternity.
Wow. You say it like that.
Mm-hmm. It affects our eternity.
So our actions affect our eternity.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it's getting right at.
That's the type of fear we want to have.
I'll just reread these two verses. It says, and Paul stood up, beckoned with his hand, and said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, hearken. And then he says it again, men and brethren, sons of Abraham's race, and those among you that fear God, to us is this word or logos of this salvation sent forth.
Give the addresses to the people of those verses.
Yeah, so that's in Acts 13, the first one I read was 16, and then the second one was verse 26.
So in his talk, he said it two times.
Uh-huh.
Separated by 10 verses.
By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Verses 44 to the end of the chapter, 52.
And coming Sabbath, almost the whole city was gathered to hear the word of God. But seeing the crowds, the Jews were filled with jealousy and contradicted the things spoken by Paul and blasphemed. And Paul and Barnabas spake out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken to you. But since you thrust it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, lo, we turn to the nations. For so hath the Lord commanded us, I have set thee for a light of the nations, that thou be for salvation unto the uttermost of the earth. And as the nations heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of God, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spread abroad throughout the whole country, but the Jews urged on the devout, honorable women and the first men of the city, and stirred up a persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and cast them out of their borders. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and came into Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit.
I find it interesting in verse 44, it says, and the coming Sabbath, almost the whole city was gathered to hear the word of God. And so these things that were spoken of by Paul in the earlier context, in the meantime of a week's time that they had gathered anyone else that wasn't hearing that the first time, they were here to hear this again the second time. And it says almost the whole city. That's a big deal.
Now, chapter 6 of Hebrews, 5:11 through 6:8, it tells us exactly what the log on is, the foundations, repentance away from dead works, faith on God, the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, and almost the whole city.
And these are things that Paul talked about in this earlier context. He talked about the resurrection, baptism, repentance, believe.
And this has to do with eternal life. See, it's in what we had talked about before. I didn't even know this was coming up when we were talking about it. So because the ones that didn't believe it, he says, you are not worthy of eternal life, didn't he? So he's talking the essence of eternal life is it starts with changing your mind, returning back to God, doesn't it?
Yep.
And as a result, the whole city, what were the religious guys doing? The Jews here. It's those of Judea. Those are the religious leaders.
Well, they were seeing the crowds, you know, all these crowds, they were filled with jealousy. And they contradicted the things spoken by Paul, and they blasphemed. And so Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be first spoken to you, but since you thrust it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, lo, we turn to the nations. So has the Lord commanded us. Then they quoted a scripture.
So Steve lives in the Phoenix area, and there's about 4 million people there. And here's 3,600,000 people all of a sudden. There's just 400,000 people left, and you divide that between all the different churches. They're going to be really ticked. If there's 3,600,000 that are wanting to get baptized and serve the Lord and read the Bible every day and talk to each other about it and encourage each other. And church means ecclesia. The Spanish Bible is dead on right. They call it the ecclesia. We call it a church. The Anglo-Saxon means a cave. When's the last time you went to a cave? The word church means a cave because that's where people hid. You know, to hide from persecution. Ecclesia means out, called. Kaleo, ek, called out. That's all that means. It's not a building. It's a called out group. And about 12 people is great in a group to talk about the Bible, read the Bible together, eat dinner together, have the Lord's table. And it's really the best in small groups, isn't it?
Well, we found by practicing that, especially with the example of Jesus and his disciples, that it was much more intimate time. You can ask more questions and things like that.
Well, we just ran out of time again, and you can join us again. And thank you very much for joining us. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington, 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.